Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Tzav, and also Shabbat Gadol. This week, Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels discusses the Parsha Tzav for Shabbat Gadol. Rabbi James Jacobson Mizels is a member of the Pardes faculty. His focus is Jewish mysticism. And now, Rabbi Jacobson Mizels.
Thank you, Larry. Today we'll be looking at a drasha by the Rebbe Pizetzner, Rebbe Kolonimus Kalmus Shapira, on our Parsha, Parsha Tzav, which also, when he gave it, was Shabbat HaGadol. And the drasha really deals with the opening line of the Parsha. That is, as it says in our Parsha, Tzav et Aaron ve'et banav lemor, Zot Torat Olah, hi olah al mokda, al mizbeach, kol alayla, ad haboker, ve'esh mizbeach tu kadbo. Right, it says, command Aaron and his sons, saying that this is the Torah, this is the teaching, the ritual of the burnt offering of the Olah, and that this burnt offering shall remain being burned upon the altar, burning on the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning upon it. And the Bizetzner Rebbe says, Ha'olah mechaperet al hiru alev, v'him mekadeshet et ha'machshava b'machshavot tovot. He says that actually this offering, this sacrifice, atones for bad thoughts, for improper thoughts, and it sanctifies the thoughts for good thoughts. That is, there is some quality of this process of sacrifice, which actually is about transforming your consciousness. It takes the ways in which your consciousness has gone astray, which has led you astray, which has thought thoughts which are going to be damaging to yourself and others, thoughts which aren't in the realm of holiness, and it atones for them and sanctifies your thoughts and sends them in the direction of good and holiness. So how does it do this? So it continues now on another topic, and it will come back to this discussion of the sacrifices. And he says, skipping a few paragraphs, V'ro'im shegam k'doshei elyon morim lanu derech ha-kodesh, so he says that we see from the upper holy ones that they teach us a holy way, a sacred way, how to utilize our consciousness, our thoughts, in just a simple way in order to sanctify and raise them, as we see in the holy books. V'gam b'sefer kodesh no meli melech, Parshat Lech Lecha, and also we see this in the Sefer Noam Elimelech, the early Hasidic work, in the Parshat Lech Lecha, Ita, where it says, "Biyoter yachol adam lirot rumamut Hashem, b'habito ha-shemayma, b'ro'e ha-kochavim v'misilotam al mishmarotam, matzirim b'zor oram, u'mize yavo l'adam yir'e l'avin rumamuto yitbarach." So he says, and a person can see the exaltedness of God by actually gazing heavenwards and seeing the stars in their course, in their place in the heavens, shining with the splendor of their light. And from this, he will come to understand the exaltedness of God. Now, of course, this beautiful quote from Noam Elimelech is an experience we've all had, right? You look up in the sky, you see the stars, you see the wonder of the world, the wonder of the universe, and we're moved to experience for a few moments the exaltedness and the wonder of divinity. And this actually ascension, the Bizetzner is saying here, is related in some way to this aspect, this ascension, the Olah, right, the ascension of the offering. V'od itasham, harotzeh shetia tefilato nishmat, tzrich lechaven ki'ilu hu mipalel be'eretz Yisrael, u'beit hamikdash benui, u'mizbeach al mechono, ve'chalo, v'arei hu ki'ilu dar ata be'eretz Yisrael. And he says, moreover, the Noam Elimelech continues, one who wants his prayer to be heard, he has to intend as if he's davening in Eretz Yisrael, which some of us, thank God today, have the merit to do. And the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, is standing, and the altar is there, ready to go. And it's as if he actually dwells right now in Eretz Yisrael. And through this, he will come to clarity and cleaving and complete cleaving, to pray with kavanah, with intention, complete intention, with awe and with love, as if he stands in the Holy of Holies. And it's if he sees everything with his sight. And it's not just an imaginative experience, but it's so real to him. It is as if he's seeing right now the contours of Eretz Israel, seeing the Beit HaMikdash, standing in the Holy of Holies, and actually seeing that vision before himself. Kach tzarich litzayer b'machshavato b'eit tefilato k'ilu hu mamash b'Eretz Yisrael u'b'Beit HaMikdash. Ayin sham. And this is how one needs to pray, to actually bring one's thoughts as if he's in Eretz Yisrael in the Beit HaMikdash. That is, though one doesn't have the sacrifices today, one brings one's thoughts imaginatively to the place of the Beit HaMikdash, to the Holy of Holies, to the place of sacrifice. And through that, achieves a transformation of consciousness through this practice of visualization, of whether it's visualizing and staring off literally at the stars, whether it's picturing in your mind the stars, or picturing in your mind the temple. In each way, one starts to redirect one's thoughts towards elements of holiness. And a bit later, he continues, Ha'isha Yisraeli yechola alot behima lola. The Jew is able to offer up as a sacrifice, literally to raise up, an animal for a sacrifice, right? Mipnei shegam et atzmo yechol hu le'alot. Because he is also able to raise up, to offer up, literally to ascend himself. This is a fascinating claim. Our ability to offer something else up as a sacrifice, to offer something outside of ourselves, actually depends on our ability to offer ourselves. It depends on the ability for ourselves to ascend. We can only offer and ascend something else. We can only make something else grow, make something else become holy, because actually we are able to sanctify ourselves. And indeed, there's a sense here that this sacrifice is really ultimately a self-sacrifice. And in another sense, as we see often in Hasidic literature, that the sacrifices indicate that we are in fact able to offer up our very physicality or bestiality, that is, in the sacrifices, one offers up an animal, and so too our very animal, physical, base nature, too can be sanctified and offered to God. And he continues, V'hu yachol la'ir mechutz la'atzmo lezulato mipnei shehu etzem or. And he is actually able to enlighten outside of himself to another, that he's able to bring light to another through this process really of sacrifice, this process of the fire in the sacrifice, because he himself is essentially light. Right? We ourselves are each essentially this light. We don't have to go creating anything. But because we essentially are light, we are illuminated, we can offer that light to others when we're willing to let it out. V'chein chol ha'yecholet she'yesh l'ish Yisrael la'asot mitzvot in dvarin zilato, divrei olam, kagon klaf v'ritzu'ot be'ema, la'asotam kadosh mitzvah tefillin, b'mnei she'ose et mitzvah gam b'kirbo im atzmo. And he says so too. The entire capacity of a Jew to make a mitzvah if with external objects, other things, with the things of the world, like, for instance, a piece of parchment and straps of animal flesh, right, straps of leather, to make them holy as he does with tefillin, right? In tefillin, we have these straps of leather, we have these parchment of leather inside which words written on them, and they become a chefs of kedusha, a holy object. And he's able to do this because he does the mitzvah not just externally, but also internally, also with himself. That is, to do the mitzvah properly, to actually allow these objects to be sanctified, it's not enough to do an external act, but there's an internal work of sanctification that has to happen at the same moment. Ubegemara sof perach aleph bechagiga, ita hen, hainu kol mitzvot gufei Torah. And it says in the Gemara at the end of the first chapter of Chagiga, that it says, these, that is all the mitzvot, are gufei Torah. They are the very body, the essence, the substance of the Torah. Chutz me'apashut, miramez ha'nizkar l'mala, sh'divrei olam she'osim behem et ha'mitzvot, rak gufei ha'mitzvot hen, v'nishamot ha'mitzvot osim anu b'kirbenu. And he says, despite, or in addition to the pshat, this also hints at the fact that these things of the world, by which we make the mitzvot, right, the things by which we use to actually actualize our mitzvot, are actually only the body of the mitzvot. They're only the body. And the soul of the mitzvot, we make inside ourselves. So this aspect of doing a mitzvah, doing a bodily mitzvah, doing a mitzvah with things of the world, is actually a combined activity. To genuinely do the mitzvah, it takes both the combined bodily action and that soul action, the inner place of the mitzvah, the inner intention and inner experience. And he continues, V'lo l'inyan orot v'sodot ila'im shel mitzvot shehem b'merom kavanatenu ata, rak al ha'asiya shelanu, agufei ha'asiya v'nishmot ha'asiya shel mitzvot. And he says, look, we're not talking right now about the lights and the secrets, supernal secrets and lights of the mitzvot, that they are exalted subjects. That's not what we're talking about right now. We're just talking about actually doing the mitzvah. You don't have to be some great mystic. Just what does it actually mean to do a mitzvah? The doing of them, both the physical doing of them, but also the soulful, internal doing of the mitzvah. Just its basic activity. Umay nishmat asiya she'alinu la'asot, iyev shar lanu ladat, kmo she'iyev shar ladat nishmatenu asher b'kibenu, asher kak liyahi lefanenu. And what exactly is this sort of soulful doing, this inner doing of the mitzvot? We can't know completely. Right? We can't know. Just as we cannot know our soul, which is inside us, even though it in fact is so revealed to us, it's so present with us, so we can't fully know it. There's a certain aspect of mystery, or at least an aspect of never being able to know it in the ways we usually approach and understand knowledge. Yicholim v'tzrichim lat ladat, rak ladat, eich lasot et ha-mitzvot. Shegam et nishmat asiya asher tzrichim lasot b'kribenu naseh. Rather, what we need to know is how to do the mitzvot. And then the soulful doing of it, the inner doing of it, will be done as well. Will be done as well with the doing of the mitzvot. Reshit hu lasot et guf asiya b'fol b'dikduk. And the first part of that is just to actually do the actual body, the action of the mitzvah. And to do it, you know, actively with our bodies, and to do it properly, exactly. But not only that, v'gam be'emunah, but also with faith, u'bitur ratzon la'Hashem, and with the annihilation of our own will before God. That is, it's not just doing the bodily act, it's also doing it with the sense of faith, which we can see from elsewhere, actually, ultimately comes down to, for the Pizetzner, the faith that everything we encounter, that every experience in the world, that every object is divinity, and that everything we experience is actually nothing but the light of divinity, and with the letting go of our own self and will and ego, with our surrender to the will of God. And these, of course, are quite actually powerful requirements. It's quite challenging to really come with this faith of divine presence and with the genuine willingness to surrender ourselves before the will of God. But he says when we do that, actually, that's when the soul of the mitzvah starts to be actualized. Ki zehu, he says, reich nichoch l'Hashem. Because this, he says, is the pleasing odor to God. That is, when we do the mitzvot, we, in a sense, are doing the sacrifices. And just as the sacrifices, as it says in the Torah, give a pleasing odor to God, give pleasure to God, affect God in some way, so to our mitzvot, when we do them properly with that inner aspect, in a sense with that inner fire, which is the fire of the altar, that too gives a pleasing odor to God. Shemarti v'naseh ritzoni, ma she'ish Yisrael mevetel et atzmo l'ritzon Hashem, v'gam ritzeh mishdokek l'meh et ritzono yiparach. That is what God says, that they should do my will. That is, when a Jew annihilates himself before the will of God, and also he desires and is passionate to fulfill the will of God. Right? He has to bring this deep passion to, in some sense, go beyond himself, to come to this place of divine will. Vaz loim ora beima v'atzemer levado se'at mitzvot tefillin v'tzitzit, rak gam im atzmo. And then it is not just with leather or with the wool that he's doing the mitzvah of tefillin or of tzitzit, right, of the talis. Rather, then he's also doing that mitzvah with himself. And the mitzvah is now a combined action of soul and body together. Tzadikim, they experience, they feel this difference between every mitzvah, this difference of kind of taste, of texture. And this is really the essence, the distinction of every mitzvah, that you when they really do it with themselves, they feel that distinction. Just as we experience, of course, a clear difference in the goof of the mitzvah. We see that, you know, tefillin is not the same as putting on tzitzit. It's a different physical experience. But a normal person doesn't feel this distinction. They just feel the general experience of sort of self-annihilation and the desire to serve God in one unified way. He doesn't experience the subtle distinction between mitzvot. Aval, ha'im gam kol yish Yisrael eno margish chiluk bekirbo bein ha-mitzvah asher oseh b'Rosh Hashanah u'v'yom Kippur levein ha-mitzvot asher oseh b'Simchat Torah? But, I mean, are you saying that every Jew doesn't feel the difference between the mitzvot that one does on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the mitzvot that one does on Simchat Torah? No, of course. Of course we feel these great significant differences, even inside ourselves. It's just that he doesn't experience that the subtle differences between the mitzvot. And it's interesting because this points that our work towards really self-development is a kind of careful attention, a subtle attention to our practice of the mitzvot. A subtle and careful attention which has enabled us now to distinguish the different tam, the taste, the texture, the feel, the experience internally and externally of each mitzvah. And I would argue connected to what each mitzvah in particular is supposed to accomplish, how it is supposed to transform us, how it is supposed to, in the sense that the Bizetzner started with, transform our consciousness, transforms our thoughts to ones of impurity, to ones of purity and holiness. V'efshar zeh remesh sheilat ha-chacham, ma ha-edot ha-chukim v'ha-mishpatim v'chulei etchem. Shenoda dikduk ma bein sheilato le-sheilat ha-rasha, shomer ma v'chulei lechem. It says this perhaps is a hint, an answer to the question of the chacham. The chacham says, what are these statutes and laws and judgments to you? And there's, of course, a classic question, which is, what's the difference between that and the question of the Rasha, the evil son, who says, what are these laws to you? That is, really, in their basic language, it seems that both the Chacham, the wise son, and the evil son ask, what is the meaning of these things to you? And, of course, we know that from the Haggadah, we give traditionally quite a harsh response to the evil son, which says, oh, well, he's asking what it means to you, therefore he's not relating it to himself. But it seems like the Chacham ask the same question. So what's going on here? V'la'niskar l'mala, shu'ala chacham b'shlama b'gufei ha-mitvot she'asim b'fo'al, ro'im she'yesh chiluk bein edot chukim u'mishpatim. And as we mentioned above, the wise son sees in the gufei ha-mitvot, in the actual practice of the mitzvot, right, in action, that there's some distinction between these different kinds of mitzvot, between the testimonies and the laws and the judgments. Aval ma ha'edot v'chukim u'mishpatim asher tiva Hashem Elokeinu etchem. But what are these statutes and laws and judgments which God commanded you? Etchem, that is, you, daikab, mitzvot shebikrichem ma'achiluk. That he's asking is, I see already what the external differentiation is between the mitzvot. I get that. I get, you know, I put on tefillin. It's different than putting on tzitzit. It's different than giving tzedakah. I see that. But the to you is asking, actually, for each one of us to ask inside of ourselves, what's the distinction? What is that subtle distinction that tzaddikim are able to achieve? V'yafata amor lo, and even you say to him, v'chulei, ein maftirin, right? You respond to him with some of the practical sort of distinctions. You respond to him with the specific element of the mitzvot, and here you respond by telling him, look, we don't have an afikomen after the Pesach, that is, we don't have dessert. It's probably the original meaning of it. V'lama, why? Kadesh yisha'er tama matzah b'feh, in order that the taste of the matzah will remain in your mouth. That is, the last thing we eat is the matzah, so that taste will remain in our mouth. Shegam tama ha-mitzvah mitzvah. That also the actual taste, here the taste, the reason, the texture of the mitzvah, but also the taste, in a literal sense here, the taste of the matzah, that itself is a mitzvah. V'zeo devar she'i efshar leva'er lecha, And this is something that cannot be explained, right? That this subtle distinction, our aspect of the taste, the experience, the inner meaning of the mitzvah, cannot actually be communicated from one person to another, because it doesn't enter ultimately into our intellect and discursive speech. It's something deeper that our soul experiences on a non-discursive level. Ta mitzvah yesh b'chol mitzvah. V'hu lafi ha-mitzvah. V'kafi she'osim ota. V'tam i'efshar leva'elez l'ato rak kol echad kafi she'margish. The tam, the taste, the texture, the experience of the mitzvah is present in every mitzvah. And it is according to the quality of that mitzvah and according to the way in which we do it, right? So it's not just an essential element. There's the mitzvah itself, which has its own quality. But there's also the experience that we bring to the mitzvah. And that experience itself transforms the quality of the mitzvah. The kavanah we bring, the approach we bring, transforms our actual experience of the mitzvah itself. And we've all felt that. When we approach the mitzvah in a different way, the mitzvah is a different mitzvah. And that taste, that experience, that texture actually cannot be explained to another, because it doesn't actually enter into our intellect in the end. It can't be expressed in language. It's ineffable. It goes beyond language. And therefore, it's only according to what each one experiences when each one feels. And so now he concludes by bringing this back to the subject of sacrifice and also to Shabbat HaGadol, the Shabbat before Pesach. V'hine Shabbat hi kodesh. Shabbat is holy. Ki kodesh hi lachem, right? Because it shall be sanctified to you. V'yom tov hu mikrei kodesh. And Yom Tov is a time of sanctity, of time of holiness. Shekorim et ha-kodesh, kamo shekorim lechar sheyavo. Sorry, I'll say that again. Shekorim et ha-kodesh, kamo shekorim lachar sheyavo. And it's a mikre kodesh, it's a called time of holiness. It's a time of holiness which is called, which is declared. That is, we call it sanctified, just as in the same way we would call to another person to come. That is, we call to the Yom Tovim to come to be sanctified. Ki Yisrael mikdashim et hazmanim. Because Yisrael sanctifies the times. That is, we sanctify the holidays. V'Shabbat kvi'a v'kaima. But Shabbat is already fixed and exists. It has its own sanctity. That is, we sanctify the holidays. We sanctify Rosh Chodesh. But Shabbat is its own prior sanctity that is given to us and we enter into. U'mikom makom ro'im shegam b'Yisrael tluya devar likabel et Shabbat v'lasot ha'hevdala v'kodem ha'dala asor b'malacha. But we still also see that Shabbat in a certain way still depends on Israel, because it depends on us to accept the Shabbat and also to do Havdalah, to do the separation. Because before the Havdalah, it's forbidden to do work. So Shabbat has its own essential sanctity, but it doesn't mean that we have no role. We have to accept Shabbat upon us, and we also make the distinction between Shabbat and between the weekdays. V'lozo avzo derav matzli b'Shabbat be'erav Shabbat v'rav Yeshua matzli shomotze Shabbat b'Shabbat. And not only this, but actually there's some more flexibility, because we see in the Gemara that Rav used to pray the davening of Shabbat on Erev Shabbat. That is, before Shabbat commenced, he would already start Shabbat davening. And Rav Yeshaya would pray the davening of Motzei Shabbat after Shabbat on Shabbat. Kolomar, b'yom tovim Yisrael mikdashim et zulatam, haynu et azman, she'yaseh kodesh. That is to say, on Yom Tov, on the Chagim, Israel sanctifies that which is external to them, the other. That is the time. They sanctify in the time, and they make it holy. They make it sanctified. U'b'Shabbat yecholim l'kadesh rak et atzmam, k'dushat ha-Shabbat, l'kabel aleim ha-Shabbat, o l'achdol b'havdala. But in Shabbat, actually, they are able only to sanctify themselves, either to accept the sanctity of Shabbat and to sanctify themselves with Shabbat, or also to cease Shabbat and to make the havdala between Shabbat and the weekdays. Aval et atzman ein hem makdishim. But the time itself, they do not sanctify, right? That is, they're doing the davening at the different times, doesn't make it Shabbat or not Shabbat. V'lefi hanizkar lamaya, adei Shabbat shemakdishim et atzmam yicholim lekadesh et zulatam b'yom tovim. And as we mentioned above with this aspect of the mitzvot, it's actually through Shabbat, through this category of accepting the sanctity and therefore sanctifying themselves, through this attainment of self-sanctity, they are then able to sanctify the other, that is, sanctify the time of the holidays. But without this self-sanctity, this self-transformation, it's impossible to bring that sanctity out into the world. L'kadesh et hazman kanis kar l'mala, b'midrash b'korban. To sanctify the time, as was mentioned above, in perhaps it means midrash here, that is in study, but perhaps it's a typo and it actually means mikdash, probably, b'korban, that is in the sanctity of the sacrifices that happened in the mikdash. L'chein ha-shabbat she'kodem chag ha-pesach hu shabbat ha-gadol. And therefore Shabbat, which is before Shabbat ha-pesach, is Shabbat ha-gadol. Why is it called Shabbat ha-gadol? B'chinat umi goy gadol. The aspect of who is this great nation, referring to Israel. She'az Yisrael ha-nikra gadol mikadesh. Because that is the time when Israel, which is called great, is sanctified. V'chol Shabbat she'lifnei chag hu b'chinat gadol. And every Shabbat before chag actually is this aspect of gadol. Because it's the time when Israel sanctifies ourselves so that we can then bring this holiness into the Chag. Rakivan shePesach hu haChag haRishon shel Yitziat Mitzrayim, lechen Shabbat shekodem lo yoter nikra gadol. But it's just because Pesach is really the first holiday after Yitziat Mitzrayim. Therefore, the Shabbat before it is called Shabbat haGadol. Right. So this aspect, actually, the relationship here of Shabbat and Pesach, is that a Shabbat is a time to sanctify ourselves, to find that inner place of sanctity, and through it, then in the Chagim, we bring that sanctity out into the world. Shabbat, in that sense, is a time of retreat, and the Yom Tovim, in a sense, are a time of re-engagement. And then he ends with the opening verse of the Parsha, the opening Pasuk. Zot Torah Ta'ola. This is the teaching, the Torah, the ritual of the Ola, the burnt offering, but literally that which ascends. V'chule, v'esh mizbeach tukad bo. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. Bo. So bo literally means here on the altar, but here he says, no. Ish means that tukad bo. Bo be'ish. Inside the person, that fire, that passion, that desire to serve God must be continually burning inside him. Va'az yuchal la'kriv gam korban olah. And then when that passion is burning inside him, then he can actually offer the sacrifice of ascent. That is, then he can sanctify the world around him. And so the Ish Kodesh here says this is actually the essential work of the Korban of the sacrifice. An essential work which we still do today, even if we don't offer sacrifices. That is, that the first step has to be this self-sanctification. Our own work with our own body, our own heart, our own emotions, our own mind, our own consciousness. This work, as he said at the beginning, of transforming of our consciousness, of working with our consciousness, the difficulties in it, and turning it towards the good. And only when we do that deep inner work ourselves, can that external sanctification and ascension start to happen. Can we genuinely offer up that sacrifice? Can we do the mitzvot in a way that we bring sanctity in the world? Can we do the Yom Tovim and Pesach in a way that we bring sanctity and liberation into the world?
Thank you, Rabbi. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org if you have any comments. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.